pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. So to come on the program today, State Representative Steve Klaus, he'll be with us at the bottom of the hour. Make sure you stay tuned for that. Joining us now on the program, colleague of mine at Breitbart News, one of my other jobs, has a new book out, Deleted, Big Tech's Battle to Erase the Trump Movement and Steal the Election. Alan Bakari joins us on the line. Alan, how are you this morning?
Hello, Jeff. Good to be on.
Thanks.
How are you?
Thanks for taking time to do this. Got a new book out. I think a lot of people are suspicious that this might be the trend of this election, but Big Tech's role in this election season can't be understated.
Yeah, you know, one of my friends described a very interesting trend very succinctly, I thought. He said that ever since the 2016 election, the Democrats and the left and the mainstream media have made cheating or political cheating virtuous. And, you know, we see this with the push for mail-in ballots, which obviously opened to fraud. We've seen this with the weaponization of the bureaucracy and the legal system. And we've seen it with the weaponization of big tech. It's all geared towards undermining Trump and stealing the next election. And almost every one of the things I found in my book, I spent a lot of time talking to people inside Facebook, inside Google, and other tech companies, the few remaining conservatives in those companies, is that almost everything that these companies have done since the 2016 election, especially with regards to their new campaigns against so-called misinformation, so-called conspiracy theories, or, you know, another one of their favorite words, election integrity. The people who joined these efforts within these companies, and first of all, they all started after 2016, very conveniently, but the people who joined those efforts were the most anti-Trump figures at the companies. That's what my sources tell me. So whenever you hear a big tech company talking about the need to tackle fake news or the need to maintain election integrity, what they're really talking about is undermining the Trump movement.
Yeah, because they are definitely motivated. You know, they want to make money or you know, but I also think policymakers put the pressure on Facebook. We were looking for a convenient scapegoat. The Hillary Clinton campaign was in 2016 as to why they lost, and you can point to Facebook, Zuckerberg, and Facebook in some ways giving in to that pressure. And I mean, it's a left of center culture, obviously, in Silicon Valley for sure, and I'm sure within the offices of Facebook. But they are really, I guess, taking extraordinary steps to keep from what they are told is what happened in 16 from happening again.
That is their intention, and we saw this in the leaked video of Google executives that was leaked in 2018. This was a video that I obtained from a Google source published in Breitbart. All of Google's top leadership were on stage a few days after the election at a company meeting, denouncing the election result, calling it offensive, and discussing ways to stop it from happening again. This is the imperative inside these tech giants. And, you know, I'm sure you see similar things at other companies that are dominated by the left. I'm sure you saw similar, you would have seen similar things at the offices of the New York Times. But those companies don't have the influence, the vast influence over the flow of information that these tech companies have. And, you know, I think a lot of conservatives and Trump supporters, you know, they take the opinion that, you know, we're not going to be fooled by Google, we're not going to be fooled by Facebook. And that's absolutely true. I think Trump supporters and conservatives will not be taken in by any propaganda they see in the top trends on Twitter or the top search results on Google. But the real problem, Jeff, is undecided voters, people who are on the fence, who aren't very engaged politically and are looking to find out more information about the two candidates, about Biden and Trump. What are they going to see when they do Google searches about political issues? They're going to see a stream of propaganda from the mainstream media. They're not going to see any results from the conservative side of the debate, and that could be critical come election day.
Well, a lot of our listeners really think Donald Trump's going to win, and there's no reason to think he won't win. We're already seeing, I think, an overcorrection in big tech. Let's play this out. If he wins, how far does big tech go after that if Donald Trump is president again to try to, if they, especially if they get blamed, what do you think is could be next? What kind of draconian measures could there be from big tech?
Well, we've always already seen what big tech does. It uses every crisis as an opportunity, and every single new rule change they implement seems to be enforced in a way that targets Trump supporters. They always use plausible deniability when they introduce certain changes. They say they're just tackling hate speech or fake news or dangerous extremism. These are words that they say are politically neutral that are applied fairly to both sides. But just take a recent thing, the banning of the QAnon movement. Now, you know, you can have your opinions on the QAnon movement. You can call them, you know, nutty and extremist and or crazy or whatever you want, but are they more nutty than, you know, Rachel Maddow, who's accused Donald Trump on national television of being controlled and blackmailed by Vladimir Putin? You know, is it more nutty than this idea that hydroxychloroquine will kill you, even though it's been used for, you know, over 50 years? There are all sorts of conspiracy theories, you know, propagated in the mainstream media that that aren't clamped down on by the tech companies because they are mainstream. So, you know, everything that big tech, in every new rule that big tech introduces, whether it's against conspiracy theories or hate speech or fake news, is always used to target the right. And I think we'll see more of that if Donald Trump wins. But on the plus side, the Trump administration is taking action against big tech bias. I don't think it will have any effect before the election, but there is now a petition before the FCC to narrow some of the rules that big tech uses to evade the legal consequences of censorship. So in a way, if we want to go back to internet freedom, to have an unbiased online space where you aren't banned for your political beliefs, we really need Donald Trump to win to see that process through.
Right. Well, tell us this, though. Is there a way to quantify really what big tech's, the impact they have? Well, what do you think if Facebook and Twitter and all Google really put their thumb on the scales in a way, is there a way to measure that? I mean, how many points do you think that's worth to the Democrats?
Well, there have been some very big estimates. So Facebook, for example, I forget the exact percentage number. I think it was around 4%, which they claimed to have boosted turnout by in 2016. If they were to send turnout messages or voter, you know, reminders to vote just to Democrats on their platform, not to Republicans, or even just to slightly more Democrats than Republicans, that could have a really big impact. And as for Google, the potential impact there could be even bigger. You know, psychological experiments tracking the effects of search engine bias on the opinions of undecided voters. And once again, it's undecided voters who are critical here, because they're the ones who are most likely to be influenced by biased technology. So the studies have shown that undecided voters are affected by double-digit margins. That's a huge amount, and it's more than enough to swing a close race at the state level. Keep in mind, many of the states Donald Trump won in 2016 were by razor-thin margins. I think it was a few hundred thousand votes across the swing states that he won by. And when you factor in the fact that companies like Google and Facebook know almost everything about us, they can pinpoint our interests and our political beliefs, what we like, what we dislike, what we do throughout the day on the internet. They know exactly who the undecided voters are, and they know what they're interested in, and they know what information to target them with. And there's currently no law, no regulation preventing them from using that power to tilt an election.
Right. And when you say, you know, like the targeting, and it's for our listeners' sake, you Google something, let's say, whatever it is, you want to find a news article about Joe Biden, and you type in Joe Biden in the search engine, and it's going to likely, based on an algorithm that's politically slanted, going to give you a lot of things that are favorable to him and perhaps anti-Trump. And I mean, that's a very simplified explanation, but that tends to be the way Google manipulates their search engine results to try to affect political outcomes.
That's true, and we released data from Breitbart showing that Google's traffic to Breitbart news from Google searches about Joe Biden went to zero after Google's last change to its search engine algorithm. You know, the most popular conservative news website on the internet, no traffic from Joe Biden-related search terms. So they're completely killing conservative media on these search results. And when you think about it, those are exactly the search results that an undecided voter would use if they're trying to find out more information about the candidates.
We're joined by Alm Bakari, Breitbart News, my colleague at Breitbart. Is any of these alternatives to the search engines and these social media platforms that are advertised as being more friendly to conservatives, is there any reason to think they're going to, that they can thrive, or that they can put a dent in the marketplace and at least make this a more fair playing field?
Well, I know DuckDuckGo is growing in popularity. I hear a lot of chatter about that. And we just did an article actually today showing that the autocomplete results for Black Lives Matter, if you type in, you know, BLM is on Google, you won't see any search suggestions. That's because there are lots of suggestions, you know, BLM is Marxist, BLM is a terrorist organization, that were showing up previously, and now they're not there anymore. Google appears to have scrubbed them, but they still come up on search engines like DuckDuckGo and even Bing and Yahoo. But the question is, you know, will these competitors have an impact before the next election? I would say the answer is no.
Well,
Google still controls a massive, massive monopoly on searches worldwide, and in the United States, it is the by far the dominant search engine.
I mean, if ever, you know, the success of Google is because they did a lot of new things that we didn't have offered to us previously. The DuckDuckGo's and the Parlors, they're duplicates of what we already have. The only way I feel like you beat a Google is if you try to out innovate them, but they're so big and they have everything that's very difficult. That seems to me just really kind of the problem we're dealing with when we're talking about big tech censorship and big tech's role in our politics.
Yeah, it's doubtful that any new competitor will ever shift these monopolies, especially because whenever a innovative competitor does come along with a very new product, one of the big companies will just copy its products and incorporate it into their own products. We saw Facebook do that with Snapchat. When Snapchat was rising, Facebook just took all of its features and put them in Instagram, and that really halted Snapchat's growth.
Yeah.
The other reason why these companies are so dominant is because they have all the data, and they can use that data to tailor their products to all of us. Competitors can't compete with that because they can't achieve the critical mass they need to have a similar level of data. So that's why these companies really are sort of entrenched monopolies, and that's why the DOJ and regulators and Congress is looking at antitrust regulation.
Are they just buy them outright? It seems if it's something that great, they could just throw $1 billion or whatever they need to buy it out. And here it is. It's now part of Facebook. Seems to be a trend as well. Real quick, one more time, what's the name of the book? Where can they find it?
The book's name is Hashtag Deleted, Big Tech's Battle to Erase the Trump Movement and Steal the Election. If you go on Amazon, you'll find it there, or Barnes & Noble, which I would recommend if you don't use Tech Giant. You can buy it on either one of those stores. It's out on September 22nd, and you can get it. You can pre-order it today in hardcover or ebook format.
Thanks for making time for us today.
Thanks, Jeff. Great to be on.
This is Alm Bakari of Breitbart News. Once again, the book is Hashtag Deleted, Big Tech's Battle to Erase the Trump Movement and Steal the Election. Go give it a look over if you have the opportunity. Got to take another break. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
He said something just glitter and shine.